760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Atlanta. I hope.
And beyond.
What am I thinking?
What are you thinking, Josh?
Good morning, world. How's that?
Much better.
Okay. Good morning, Universal Church. I'm just
cheating. And beyond.
Good morning, all the angels and saints. If you're listening in purgatory right now, I'm so grateful. You think they can?
Josh.
Okay. Somebody's ready for a holiday break, huh? Yeah.
Somebody is.
Oh, boy. Yeah. When we come back, there'll be a different co-host in this chair, I'm sure, if I go on too long of a tangent. Well, I am super grateful for you guys. I hope you're getting ready in the season of gratitude. You are cultivating that attitude of gratitude because it is Thanksgiving's one day away.
I know.
Tomorrow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I got to start cooking.
I got to go shopping.
What do you think? I'm going to have a Burger King Thanksgiving, man.
I need to go take a nap.
Yeah.
And I'll watch the Lions tomorrow beat up on the Bears.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
You think they'll be mad at my Thanksgiving table if everyone gets a Whopper?
I would like that, actually. I like Whoppers.
I look at it, I go, have it your way. Well, speaking of having it our way, there's no greater way to start the day than with prayer. Allison, do you have a prayer for us?
I do have a prayer. And you know, a lot of people might be going into the holiday, maybe with some needing emotional or spiritual handling. So I found a beautiful prayer for us. So let's start with the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, during this time of giving thanks, we seek your healing for our hearts and spirits. Many of us carry burdens, wounds, and pain that are invisible but heavy. We ask for your peace to surround us, for comfort in our sorrow, and for your love to restore what has been broken. Help us to forgive and be forgiven, to heal from past hurts, and to be filled with hope for the future. May this Thanksgiving bring a renewal of joy, peace, and spiritual well-being. In your holy name, amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. I just think that really speaks to the heart, you know, because Thanksgiving is such a beautiful holiday, but people might not have relatives or family members around, and we all go through ups and downs, right?
And it can be a very lonely time, too.
It can be. So bring the Lord in.
Yeah, and we'll lift you up in prayer, especially if you have lost a loved one in the past year. It's a new... You know, definitely a new holiday season with that special somebody. So
the first everything that first year is always difficult.
Mm-hmm. And truly years on, too. I'm like, it always pops up. So, yeah, definitely prayers for all of those and all of us. Yes.
But luckily, we have an adopted family that is unshakable and eternal. So that's maybe a call for us all to get to Mass if we can on Thanksgiving Day. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit of prayer and adoration, or just time in front of the tabernacle, which is still adoration. Jesus is just in his bedroom.
Amen.
Deacon told me one time.
I like that.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, that's good. Hey, well, I got some quotes from some saints here about gratitude.
Excellent.
From St. Teresa of Calcutta. The best way to show my gratitude is to accept everything, even my problems, with joy.
Mm.
Wow.
Love that. And it's such a good reminder. When you're having problems, you don't think about accepting that with joy. I don't anyway.
No. Why, Lord? Why is this happening? But stopping and realizing, okay, this is happening, Lord. You see this is happening. There's a reason. Help me make it through.
Mm-hmm. St. Thomas.
Oh, well, I went to spiritual direction out of the monastery in Conyers, the Trappist monastery.
Mm-hmm.
And, a dear friend of mine who we've had on the show, Brother Mark, just talked about over and over again how trust is a choice.
Amen.
Trust in God is a choice. You know, trusting that, Lord, you have me where my feet are planted. And you have me here for a reason. Now, I'm not talking about a very sinful decision or place we've taken ourselves to, but a lot of times we find ourselves in situations that are just beyond our control. We go, what is going on?
Yeah.
This ain't the plan. And it's, again, not until that reflection we realize God is often giving us a gift. And like it says in James, you know, rejoice in all your trials for knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
Well, and I love, too, going through those trials, once we overcome them, what a witness we are to others.
Absolutely.
Sharing that. I mean, what a beautiful way to witness to how God works.
We don't want to admit it, and I don't want to admit a lot, but suffering cultivates compassion.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Compassion isn't often, you know, manufactured in those moments we are sitting in the backseat of a limo. Right?
Yes.
It's you know, the calluses in our hands.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Absolutely.
Yeah.
St. Thomas Aquinas says, "Oh God, grant whatever good things I have, I may share generously with those who have not. And whatever good things I do not have, I may request humbly from those who do."
Nice.
Absolutely. And then the last one from St. John Paul II. "Remember the past with gratitude. Live the present with enthusiasm. Look forward to the future with confidence."
I love that too.
Wow, that's beautiful. And so I'm going to pivot and give you a scriptural phrase of Thanksgiving. And this is one a lot of people might know, but it had literally the phrase Thanksgiving is in here. Philippians 4:6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God."
Nice.
I love that. Wonderful.
Yeah. Absolutely. So anyway, I hope that we can anchor in that just that interior state this holiday season.
Yeah, we've got more Thanksgiving stuff coming up this hour.
We sure do. Mm-hmm. Well, coming up, we have Father Adam from Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia, diving into the Word with us today. Also, Chuck Persner is going to be back talking about St. Andrew Dunglock and companions. And I never knew about this amazing saint and the companion. So
yeah, me neither.
Super duper informative and exciting to listen to. Ruth O'Neill, she's going to be talking to us about pillars of authentic love. She's a parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock. And then also we have Janice Givens, who is going to be talking to us today about purgatory. And she's a parishioner at St. Luke's in Dahlonega.
That's coming up next.
Coming up next.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Janice Givens, parishioner at St. Luke's in Dahlonega, also one of the founders of The Quest and a Child of God. Welcome, Janice.
Hello.
So, Janice, I know that November is a Feast of All Souls.
Yeah.
I would love to learn more about what that means and what we can do.
Yeah, okay, and I could talk about that, but I'm going to kind of broaden it because you can do it 365 days of the year. You don't have to wait for November 2nd or when it passed. You don't have to go, wow, I missed it.
Yeah.
You know? So really, you know, just becoming friends with all the people in purgatory is what I try to do my whole life. And so I came up with a couple of little tips on how you can pray for others in purgatory, or even how to prepare yourself for hopefully heaven. But if you kind of, you know, get in the purgatory door, how to do that.
How can we do this?
Okay, cool. So the one, you know, classic one, there's a saint called Saint Gertrude.
Okay.
And there is a prayer that it says that if you pray it, you get 1,000 souls out of purgatory.
Wow.
And if we prayed it and any listener prayed it, I mean, right there, we just clear out a whole section of purgatory.
Oh, my goodness.
I think we should do it.
Goodness.
It's very short.
Perfect.
Okay, why don't we pray it together?
Perfect. Sounds
great.
Just
think of how many souls we can get out, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's do this. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Eternal Father.
Eternal Father.
I offer thee. The most precious blood of thy divine Son, Jesus.
The most precious blood of thy divine Son, Jesus.
In union with the masses said throughout the world today.
In the union with the masses said throughout the world today.
For all the holy souls in purgatory.
For all the holy souls in purgatory.
For sinners everywhere.
For sinners everywhere.
For sinners in the universal church.
For sinners in the universal church.
And those in my own home.
And in those in my own home.
And within my family.
And within my family.
Amen.
Amen.
Look at that.
It includes everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we are sinners.
Well, yeah, definitely. We are definitely sinners. I could tell you stories about that, but that's for another day.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's number one. Easy cheesy peasy. You know, you can make it your like screensaver on your phone or whatever.
And we talk about intercessory prayer, interceding for one another, right? So
right.
When we die,
right,
we can't pray for ourselves.
And so, and you have to, you just think about, you have to change your mindset and think of all those souls as all of your friends and your prayer team.
Yes.
So when something happens like, oh, I don't know, you know, elections or whatever, you can call on all of the souls to come and pray with you or ask them to watch over certain things or certain family members. So that's number one.
Yes.
Number two is plenary indulgences. There's two kinds of indulgences, partial, which is obvious, not full.
Yes.
And then plenary is like you know, the get out of jail free card,
okay,
which is awesome. For a plenary indulgence, I always pray that for other people, mm-hmm, like on All Souls Day and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So a plenary indulgence, you have to be in the state of grace. I think they say, you know, no attachment to sin. And then you say, usually I'll say, and also our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be with the act I'm doing. And if you say a group rosary, certainly in a church, but also if you do it like on, like we do a rosary call on the phone.
Yeah.
So, or in a family, you know, we said rosaries of family. You can offer that if you're not attached to sin and you go to confession like within 7 days and you say the Hail Mary, our Father, and Glory Be, you can give away a plenary indulgence to someone who's already passed away.
Wow.
So you get them. So what I do sometimes is say, I like to pray for either the least prayed for soul in purgatory.
Yes.
Because they're just sitting there, you know.
There are people that maybe their families
centuries
have passed, you know?
Right. So wow. Sometimes I do that one. But then if I'm feeling generous.
But which I know you do all the time.
I know. But if I'm feeling desperate, which is usually most of the time, I pray for the soul that only needs one more little act to get,
yes,
into heaven. Because then if you do that, then you've got another friend in heaven.
I love that. I love it. Because they are, truly. We're in communion with one another.
Whenever I walk through a forest, I just pretend like all those trees are, you know, the saints in heaven.
Yes.
So that's the second one. Plenary indulgence, you know, family rosary or whatever. Third one, okay, this is for, you know, our female listeners,
yes,
over, well, in my age bracket, hot flashes. What I do is every time I get a hot flash, I pray for a soul. And then that's probably not a plenary indulgence, but I go ahead and offer that that act up for like some soul in purgatory.
And I love that. Not there yet.
Right, right.
But knowing, I mean, when I talk to women that are going through that, they don't like it. It's miserable.
No.
Or even if you're in your bed and you're getting sweaty. So turn
so, it. Yeah. And so I get to look forward to it. Like, because they kind of have this like prelude, you know. So it's like, oh, here it comes. All right. Get ready, soul. Some soul's getting out of heaven.
Oh, wow.
I mean, out of purgatory. Sorry.
Yeah.
So that's the third. And then, the fourth, there's this prayer called the Flame of Love Rosary or the Flame of Love Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we say the Hail Mary, we say now and at the hour of our death.
Correct.
Every time, now and at the hour of our death. So that hour is really important. My husband's mom, who I never met, but when she passed away at the hour of her death, she was a holy woman, but there was a candle in her bedroom. The candle was swooshed off the wall, off the little ledge. So there's wax all over her room. Like somebody was really ticked off that she probably went straight to heaven.
Yeah.
So think about that. So this Flame of Love Rosary has a little, you know, you can look it up. It has a little addition at the end of the Hail Mary. So they say that every time you say the Flame of Love Rosary with those specific Hail Marys, with that little extra prayer, you get 10 souls out of heaven.
Oh, wow.
I mean, out of purgatory, sorry, for each of those Hail Marys. So Flame of Love Rosary is the fourth. So we had St. Gertrude, plenary indulgences with a group rosary, hot flashes, Flame of Love Rosary. And then the last one I love to do, when I know someone's dying, it's kind of my gift to them. I go and be with them and say the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
And I've done that before.
Have you?
I have. And it was beautiful.
Powerful. And that's, you know, and that's what Jesus told Sister Saint Faustina.
Yes.
So, you know, again, let's believe it. Let's believe it and do it. So I have my little kit. You know, I got my exercise salt, my holy water. I have a relic. That's awesome. And then I'll go to whoever's dying and this is just me. I don't know. I spread the holy exercise salt all around them, like in a big circle.
Wow.
So nothing can get in.
Yeah.
And then you pray the Divine Mercy, which is about a 7-minute prayer.
It's so quick and profound.
And it's just, And well, I went to visit my cousin when he was dying in Kentucky. So I drive the whole 8 hours, get up there. He is literally covered up his head. He won't even uncover his head. He's in his bed. And he was a young guy.
Yeah.
Covered his head. And I'm like, hey, so-and-so. You know, I just drove 8 hours. Can I pray with you? I just came to say goodbye.
Yeah.
And can I pray with you? And he's like, whatever. And I'm like, okay. I said, there's this prayer. And I told him, you know, Saint Jesus told Saint Faustina, if this prayer is said on the person's deathbed, that Jesus will stand in front of God when you're being judged and will be the intermediate for you. And he's like, oh, whatever. And he had been estranged from his daughter for years, maybe decades. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. So I said the prayer. And in the middle of the prayer, maybe one little minute left of the 7 minutes, the phone rings under the covers. And I'm like, huh. And he answers. He goes, hello. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Okay, he has a phone under there. And it was his daughter. It was his daughter. She had not spoken to him in decades.
Divine.
The amount of graces. You've seen the Divine Mercy image of those graces pouring out.
Yes.
That's what you get. So those are the five there. St. Gertrude, plenary indulgence of a group rosary or family rosary, hot flashes, you know, sorry about you guys without hot flashes. We're the lucky ones. Divine mercy, prayer, and the flame of love rosary. And then there's some things you can do for yourself. There's a thing called, I believe it's called Gregorian Masses. It's like a...
That you can offer. Yeah, heard that too.
Yeah. So you can put that in your will. So there's a thing where it's called a Gregorian Masses. There's 30 Masses said for you in a row.
Yeah.
After you die. So as a Catholic, we have that in our will. And also, my husband did this when his dad died. He got up at the funeral and said, my dad would not want you to say, oh, he's in heaven. My dad would want me to say, pray for my soul.
Wow.
And it was really powerful. And
that
so,
is.
Yeah. And so that was a, you know, bold move, but there you go. Yeah.
Wow. Janice, what amazing information for us to listen to and to actually put into practice.
Oh, yeah. It's easy. Yeah. And Medjugorje, there's a, you know, Medjugorje, the apparitions, they have said, Mary has told the visionaries that more souls get to heaven on Christmas Day than any other. So also on Christmas Day, just really, you know, make sure you say a rosary with your family and get some more souls in there.
Janice Givens, thanks for being with us this morning.
Great talking to you.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Teresa Tomeo. Coming up at 9 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest, I'm inviting you to join me for Catholic Connection. But right now, let's turn to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic radio station.
It is 8:19.
Father Adam from Christ our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. So good to be with you guys again.
Always a blessing.
Thank
I'm serious.
You.
We are getting so... I just leave here so stuffed with all that soul food, so I'm grateful.
Well, good, good. We'll see if I can feed you today a little bit. We continue with the Gospel of Luke when Jesus said to the crowd, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives.
Wow. Father, one thing at the end... It's a bit of a dichotomy. I hope you can unpack this a little bit. It says...
We'll see.
It said, some of you will be put to death and hated, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. It's
sure.
Kind of these contrasts. Is that a contradiction?
I wouldn't call it a contradiction. Once we go deeper, you'll see what I mean by that. But you'll see why it's not. But it's definitely a paradox. It's kind of like there's a lot of paradoxes in Scripture. You know, you have to lose your life to save it. The crucifixion is the greatest act of violence man's ever done, but the greatest act of love at the same time. You know, and so it's death but resurrection. So there's a lot of paradoxes or I wouldn't say contradictions. That, you know, that sounds like, you know, they just can't go together.
But, yeah, that's what someone might be thinking though if they read this.
Of course, and if you stayed on the surface, you're right. That is what you see. But as I tell my parishioners, I tell everybody, you know, you need to go deeper. You know, I think I've even said on the show that the Scripture is this well of just holy water that we drink from. You know, to quench this thirst. And when we go deeper here, you're going to notice two great things. You're going to see that, well, before I tell you what those things are, you know, some readings we see kind of like this, they have a tendency at times to instill a sense of fear, you know, especially this, you know, you're going to be put to death, you're going to be hated, you're going to be powerless to resist or refute, or your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. Excuse me, that's the good news. but it's this idea that you're going to be persecuted that leads us into the sense of fear. And so when you go deeper into this, though, you'll realize that, well, with this and with anything in Scripture, there is nothing to be afraid of in the Scripture with the Word of God. These readings remind us of two things. One, and this may be the kind of the fear part if you leave it at that, it's that it's this continual battle between heaven and earth or heaven and hell for your soul. That's what this is. I mean, this is showing us that some of you are going to be put to death. You're going to be hated, but you're not going to be destroyed. Well, how can that be? Well, yes, you may have to pass from this world, but you will never die. You know, that's what he's saying here. Because on the one hand, like I said, it's this continual battle for your soul. But on the other hand, he's showing us that this battle, he wins, you know, that Christ is victorious, that even though you may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right, not a hair on your head will be harmed, that God is the good shepherd, that he is there with you the whole time, and that he does your perseverance in that faith will secure your lives, you know, that victory. It means, brothers and sisters, it means that we live forever. that there's nothing to be afraid of. You know, I mean, that's kind of the whole deal with our faith, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, if that wasn't the whole shtick, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people get afraid or get nervous with these kind of doom and gloom type readings, but it's only because they don't understand what death means. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to be put to death. Great. I can't wait. Bring it on. You know, let me go to confession first, but then bring it on. You know, we don't die. I mean, that was what the crucifixion did. That was what the resurrection did. It destroyed all this. Well, I've told people at funerals, people who are mourning, we're mourning for the wrong reason, or we're not realizing this bigger picture. You know, at a Catholic funeral, you have the baptismal candle that's lit up there. You know, that candle's lit 3 times in a person's life.
Wow. Yeah.
It's lit at their baptism as a sign that the light of Christ is now burning within them, mm-hmm. right? It's lit at Easter as a reminder of what's in store for you, the resurrection. And it's lit at your funeral wow. as a reminder, as I say, hey, you're here. You've done it. You know, Every one of us die, but it's not right before your funeral. You died the day you were baptized. Mm. That was the only death you suffered. You died to this world and rose as a child of God. And that's what this is saying, you know, that you're going to be put to death in the sense that, yes, you're going to pass through death like I did, but you're not going to be destroyed as I wasn't, as Jesus wasn't.
Yeah. You know? And I think about what St. Teresa of Lisieux said, be not afraid of suffering. The fires of suffering bring us closer to God and refine our souls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just this beautiful reminder that, you know, to die in Christ is to essentially embrace eternal life, but mm-hmm. the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Mm-hmm. So with every death in Christ, whether it's a little death or an actual death, mm-hmm. we are pouring gasoline on the flames of God's grace, mm-hmm. and it is torching this world, and that's a fire that can't be put out.
Yeah, amen to that.
I mean, what did Jesus say? I wish the world was on fire with the zeal. The baptism that he was to be baptized with.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other gospel.
Love that gospel too. Woohoo. So Father, what would be a good takeaway for today?
Well, I think that, you know, as you're going about your day, maybe kind of reflect a little bit on your own fears, your own sufferings. You know, we kind of talked about how, you know, these types of scriptures maybe instill that sense of fear at first about one thing or another. So ask yourself, you know, what do you suffer in life? What are you afraid of? And what's the silver lining? You know, I hope that you kind of see through our conversation here that silver lining to being put to death is that, well, you don't die, mm-hmm. you know, that you live eternally. So what are the fears in your life, and what's the silver lining that Christ is kind of pointing to around you? You know, the sufferings that you unite with our Lord. And where can you focus less on that fear? You know, what fears are holding you back from focusing more on the reward, the eternal life that comes next?
Amen. Know? Thank you, Father, for that beautiful reflection and reminding us and showing us how Christ's words were not in any way a contradiction, but in fact, a great gift and a reminder that there is something more we should all be living for.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
At 8:26, I'm Dave Savage, and 3-time Grammy Award-winning singer Gwen Stefani published a photo of St. Cecilia on St. Cecilia's November 22nd feast day that was to her almost 18 million Instagram followers. Now, in case you didn't know, St. Cecilia is the patron saint of musicians.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You knew that because Chuck was here talking
about
it.
We sure did know that.
Chuck, we got a whole discourse from Chuckleberry Finn.
Chuckleberry Finn.
Stefani, who's also a coach at NBC's reality singing competition, The Voice, posted the image on Instagram. She didn't comment, just posted the picture. And I didn't know this. Gwen Stefani is Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Did not know that.
There's no description or anything. It's just a picture.
Just the picture, yeah.
Wow.
And she's a founding member of the rock group No Doubt. And she does speak publicly occasionally about her Catholic faith. Now, in December 2019...
Well, that's a faith-based band, right? It's about having total trust in God, called No Doubt.
No Doubt. No Doubt.
Good one, Josh.
Yeah.
In December 2019, Us Weekly reported that Stefani and then-fiancé country singer Blake Shelton were willing to wait for Stefani's annulment from the Catholic Church from her previous marriage before marrying. The report said they wanted God on their side before marrying, and that Gwen and Blake met with her priest for a counseling session. Gwen's religion has always been extremely important to her, and Blake is completely supportive of this. They're willing to wait, the report said. The Catholic Church granted Stefani's annulment in 2021. However, it's unclear if she received a sacramental blessing for her July 2021 marriage to Blake. which occurred in a chapel built on Shelton's Oklahoma property, and a Catholic priest did not officiate. Regardless of the situation, let's just ask St. Cecilia to pray for Gwen and Blake and all the celebrities and performers.
Amen.
Absolutely. And then I thought, you know, since today is kind of like a holiday, instead of doing like an actual news, not that this is all actual news anyway. It is news. I mean, it's all real, but
I hope it's real, Dave. We got some other questions to answer.
I love this.
It's not like I'm Dan Rather sitting here, you know, reporting the news, you know.
I love this edition, Dave. I can't wait.
Yeah, so this is some trivia questions about Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. How many people attend the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City?
5.
Multiply that. 3.5 million.
What? Well, I got the 5 right on the. It was just in the wrong direction.
And then an additional 50 million end up watching the game at home.
And you're the game or the parade?
The parade. I mean, yeah.
And you know what? A little tidbit about the parade. After 9/11, I actually was out there at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and I was in one of the black outfits as security with the Snoopy balloon.
Really?
So I actually was in the parade.
Were you on TV?
I think the cameras did as we came by, but I wasn't waving. I was like,
wow. What is typically the biggest safety hazard on Thanksgiving?
Choking on turkey.
Yeah, I would think it would be something food related, but it's fires.
Oh,
with all the cooking and baking going on. Yeah,
wow. True.
Fires. Which city's Thanksgiving Day Parade ends with Santa Claus getting a key to the city? It's Detroit. You'll never guess.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Interesting city to get a key to, too.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. I think if I was in Detroit, I'd prefer a lock.
A key out of the city. Yeah. No, Detroit's a good town. I'm from that area, and it's had its problems, but it's coming back, especially with the Lions this year.
Very nice.
What did President Calvin Coolidge famously receive as a Thanksgiving gift? A raccoon.
A raccoon?
Yeah. Vinnie Joyce from Mississippi sent the 30th president a live raccoon to be served as Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, man, I was thinking a pet raccoon. No, like, those things are cute.
And so the president became so smitten with the furry animal, he pardoned it and adopted it as a pet, and he named it Rebecca.
What? Oh my gosh.
So the president had
The president had a pet raccoon.
Let me tell you can go into a deep, dark tunnel if you look up pet raccoon videos on Instagram. There are some cute ones out
Last
there.
Last time I saw a raccoon was when I was camping, and it was in the garbage bag trying to go through our garbage.
Oh, yeah, I do remember. So there are some really cute pet raccoons on Instagram, but I will say the last image of a raccoon I had, up close and personal, was opening a garbage can when I was a kid, and it was just looking up and hissing at me, foaming at the mouth.
I said, away from my food.
Well, foaming at the mouth, it probably was rabid.
Yeah, that's what I was just, I think I was told I shouldn't have pet it.
So. No, you really shouldn't. Absolutely.
Matt Swaim here. Join Anna Mitchell and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160, The Quest. But for now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:34.
We are so happy to have Chuck Purser back with us, and he is going to inspire us with another saint today. Good morning, Chuck. Welcome back.
Thank you, Allison. Good morning, and good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Chucky. Or we call you Chuckles, Chocolate Chip, but I got a new one. Chuck E. Cheese.
I think that's been used before. Am I right?
I just thought of it.
I just thought of that. It's a brilliant guy.
You heard that from someone.
I think so. The day before Thanksgiving. What a great day.
What a beautiful day.
One of my favorite days of the year. You know, back when I lived in New York, I would gather all my friends together. Mm. They were all back in from out of town, wherever they were living, and we'd go to the Upper West Side. We'd watch them inflate the Thanksgiving Day balloons.
How amazing.
That was fun. Yeah, did it every year.
I was actually in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Were you really?
I was after 9/11. I was one of the security people with the Snoopy balloon.
You had this. You were a rope woman.
Well, I didn't. I was actually in black. We were there in black, just overseeing, making sure everything was okay. Yeah, so
that's
I was with Snoopy.
Cool. You were Snoopy.
You're on Secret Service to make sure someone didn't take out Snoopy.
Yes,
that's really thoughtful.
But anyway, I'm so sorry, Chuck.
Well, did you have a favorite balloon in the parade?
Snoopy, of course.
Has to be, right?
Absolutely.
We have that tie. I was a Kermit the Frog guy myself. Josh, how about you?
In terms of my favorite Muppet or character?
Balloon in the parade.
Oh, balloon. That was just such an interesting commentary. You were talking about Snoopy. I'm more of a Kermit guy myself. Like, what are these people talking about? Fictional animals or something? Big Bird, maybe. I'm not sure. I don't even think I know the lineup of.
I'll give you a few choices. Spider-Man, Ronald McDonald, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, I think I'll go with Spider-Man.
Good choice, Josh.
Always a good choice. And I'll tell you another good choice, the Vietnamese Martyrs.
Oh, yes.
We'll talk about them today.
Are they in the parade?
And they are not in the parade.
Oh.
No, they had more important things to do.
They are
rescue Christianity
in
Vietnam, for instance.
Amen.
Yes, they did. So, today we're going to shine the spotlight on the Vietnamese Martyrs, highlighted by their brave leader, the priest, St. Andrew Dong Lac. And we do this because this past Sunday, on the 24th of November, was their memorial. And it's captured on the liturgical calendar as St. Andrew Dong Lac and his companions. So this was a group of 117 martyrs led by Father Andrew, and they died for the Catholic faith in Vietnam during the 19th century persecutions.
Wow.
The group was made up of about 96 Vietnamese, 11 Spaniards, and then there were 10 French missionaries who had assimilated into the Vietnamese culture at the time.
Wow.
Yeah, roughly half were clergy and priests. There was a bishop or two even in there. And then the other half were lay people, and it includes a mother of six and even a 9-year-old child.
Wow.
Yeah, that's particularly tragic.
Wow.
And some were Dominican priests, others were diocesan priests, but it was this blend of the faithful who all were fighting for the faith at the time. And according to the Vatican, Father Andrew Dong Lac was actually born with the name Dong An Tran to a poor family in northern Vietnam around the year 1795. His family moved to Hanoi to find work. 12-year-old Andrew met a Christian catechist, and this is where his story began. He shared the faith with him and baptized him with this name, Andrew.
Wow.
So this is where he encountered the name change. And, you know, at the time, the climate was very dangerous for Christians in Vietnam, and this was under Emperor Minh Mang, who was known as the Nero of Indochina, pretty foreboding nickname. He banned foreign missionaries. He went so far as to command Vietnamese Christians to trample on crucifixes in an act of public renunciation of their faith in Jesus Christ. So in the year 1823, Andrew was ordained a priest, and his preaching and simplicity of life led many others to baptism. And despite the young priest needing to be hidden by the faithful in order to keep him safe from the emperor, he was ultimately imprisoned multiple times, and each time was ransomed by the Catholic faithful, who were able to spring him, so to speak. Many Christians, of course, during this time were suffering brutal martyrdoms. There was torture. There was beheadings. And it's estimated that from between the years 1630 to 1866, between 130,000 to upwards of 300,000 Christians were, in fact, martyred in Vietnam.
And that's, I think, during this time, Catholicism was considered a threat in Vietnam, right?
Yes.
I'm assuming they thought it was antithetical towards the culture and Confucian values.
Yes, that is correct.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tough climate for Christians, no doubt about it. And then ultimately, his story comes to an end in the year 1839 when he was arrested once again, along with another Vietnamese priest, and this was Father Peter Thi, who, along with Dong Lac, had visited in order to go to confession. Actually, Father Peter was going to administer the sacrament of confession to Father Andrew. They were ransomed, arrested again, tortured, and then finally beheaded in Hanoi on December 21st in the year 1839.
Wow. I mean, just listening to that, the whole life and everything that had happened, there's a quote I have here from St. Peter, from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, and it really just reminds me of those martyrs. If you have to suffer for being good, you will count it as a blessing. There is no need to be afraid or to worry about persecutors. Simply reverence the Lord Christ in your hearts and always have your answer ready for people who ask you the reason for the hope that you all have. I mean, you think about that. I mean, they went to martyrdom for Christ.
Yes. Yeah. And I believe that's the optional first reading chosen for his feast day every year. I can't say for this year because it was superseded because it fell on a Sunday, but in years past, that has been the scripture passage chosen, the optional passage for his feast day.
Yeah, and Pope John Paul II referred to the Vietnamese martyrs as, quote, shining examples of fidelity to Christ and encouraged their intercession for courage in modern faith challenges. We get frustrated at times because we have to go to Mass on a Sunday, or we're supposed to. And you think about how much these guys would give anything to have that kind of freedom in celebrating their faith and the sacraments. I mean, he couldn't even go to confession without being killed.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I mean, he didn't even have the freedom to experience the sacraments without a target being on his back.
Yeah.
What would these guys give for a Mass Times app that tells them every parish
that has masses,
within the 20-mile radius, and you have too many to choose from? But then again, if they could see it now, they would know that their efforts paid off.
Yeah, it truly is an embarrassment of riches here in the Archdiocese of Atlanta. So many mass times, different churches. And with Thanksgiving tomorrow, it's a reminder to us, we got to be grateful for the fact that we can celebrate freely in this country.
Amen to that. And Pope John Paul II canonized the 117 martyrs together on June 19th, 1988. At the time, the communist government of Vietnam did not permit a single representative from the country to attend the canonization. But 8,000 Vietnamese Catholics from other lands were there, filled with joy to be the children of this suffering church. So no one in that country could attend.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yep.
So he was canonized. Were all his companions canonized as well, Chuck?
On the same day. All 117 on the same day were canonized.
Wow. Even that, was it 9-year-old kid you were talking about? He's a saint.
Yep.
Wow. Yep.
Do they have an extensive list name by name of every single person?
But they do. It's out there.
Oh,
absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. That is, you think about it, that might be the youngest canonized saint. I can't think of anyone canonized younger than anyone who lived to be 9.
I don't know of any. Yeah, I'm not sure. But
I've got a homework assignment. I gotta go see.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Talk about going out on top.
It really is. Yeah.
Appropriately enough, he is also the patron saint of Vietnam.
St. Andrew Dunlop and companions.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And Dave.
Hey, Dave.
At 8:42. We sent out a few things to some of the Catholic, the religious, what do they call it? The religious education or the...
PSR, religious education.
Yeah, and also
parishes.
The Catholic schools.
Uh-huh.
And they sent back some of these responses, which are great things about Thanksgiving. Their sentiments. This is from St. Michael the Archangel, Sacramental Prep Grades 3-6. Why are you thankful for your parents? And this person... Oh, this is Lizzie. Dad, because of Dad, he takes me out to lunch and drives me in his truck because he is a truck driver and my mom is his dispatcher.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Look at that.
This person says they are good and cool.
Aw.
How about that? And what are you thankful for? God and food and that I get to share it with other people. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Just do a few more here. I like this one. Lizzie again. Let me just get to Lizzie's here because I like hers. She says, what are you thankful for? Jesus and my parents. Jesus created my life and my parents love and care for me. And that's all I need.
Love that.
How about that?
Wow.
Yeah. You got a few, Josh?
Nah. Yeah, I got a few. Let's see. Okay, Catechist Anahi and Raul from 3rd and 4th grade. What's something your family always does on Thanksgiving? Cook, go over to other family's house, go around and say what we're thankful for. Mexican food, mole, pozole, play games, eat tamales.
Ooh. Oh, is that mole?
Huh?
Is it mole?
I was testing you. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know either.
It's a nice old, prepared mole. We all like our mole. And if it's prepared by a Catholic, it's holy mole.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
If it's blessed by the priest.
There you go. All right, so we got Catechist Irma and Cheryl, first year communion, age 6 to 7. What is something your family always does on Thanksgiving? Make lots of food. Salad. My mom does the rest. Nice.
I like that.
Yeah, moms are always carrying a lot of the weight of Thanksgiving, as we know. Okay, what Thanksgiving food are you looking forward to? Carne asada, potatoes, vegetables. Okay, we are getting a nice ethnic flair here. I mean, this is really cool. I guess it's not always done the same,
No.
Universally. All right. Catechist Tricia and Tori in kindergarten. What's something your family always does on Thanksgiving? Cook turkey, celebrate with family together. Oh, we got a nice little theme going on here. Okay, good. Allison, do you have anything?
I sure do. Miss Lynn and Miss Maria and Miss Sylvia's 2nd and 3rd grade class at Holy Family. Alex says, I am thankful for my family. They cook a turkey. I'm thankful for parents taking care of me. And I love hearing that. As a mom of 3, it's always so endearing hearing these kids saying how much they love their parents and how they take care of them.
Yep.
Bryce as well, in that same class, God, family, and everything. And he likes eating lots of turkey. And again, he's thankful for his parents because they are so nice and sweet. Sweet, sweet. Miss Carly, Miss Elizabeth, Miss Alondra, and Miss, I think, Mavis from the second and third grade class at Holy Family. Uriel says she is thankful for Miss Cardi and Mom and Liam. They like to eat turkey and Golden Corral.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Mashed potatoes, and Dad, and cooking pasta. So great things there. And then also we have Ashley. She's from that same class at Holy Family, second and third grade. I'm thankful for my parents and my teacher, Eli Carly.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Coming up at 10 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest. Join us for more to life.
But now let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:48.
Ruth O'Neill, Catholic Life Coach. Welcome back, Ruth.
Hello, Allison.
Well, I know in our last conversation, we were talking about authentic love, and you were talking about the four pillars. So why don't we recap on that?
Yeah, as far as authentic love is concerned, it's just been everything that I've read and everything that I've learned, that really four things rise to the top. And so I call them the four pillars of authentic love, and that's ownership, responsibility, truth, and freedom. So in any authentically loving relationship, the participants or those that are in the relationship need to practice good ownership, owning their own life, not expecting the other person to take any ownership for what is in their wagon. So owning it and then being responsible for it, right? So the responsibility part is the action part. And then something we never got to, I think we named it last time, but the other two are truth and freedom. So it's ownership, responsibility, truth, and freedom. And the truth part is really the reality part, right? So sometimes we live in this fantasy world. We want it to be this way, or we wish it were that way,
yeah.
Or, you know, in a perfect world kind of scenario. And so we say all those things, but actually that's what we strive for. And it isn't even where our feet are planted.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is we have to be where our feet are planted. Like, what is our reality? What exists, you know, around us, the people, the place, the circumstances we find ourselves. That's truth. And then the last one is freedom. And that is, of course, what our Lord and Savior came and did for us, right? Set us free. And so why would we want ever to keep ourselves in bondage or to prevent anybody else from exercising their own free will? And so that's that freedom piece. So those four, authentic love.
You know, and when we're tying into authentic love and when we're talking about reality, you know, when it comes to the holidays, people just have this perception of what they want it to look like, and it might not be reality.
Yeah.
So how can we...
I see where you're going.
Yes. Inspire us, Ruth.
Oh, well, how many of us start at the beginning of November thinking, this is the Advent. I am going to live this Advent. It's going to be holy, and we're going to do this and that. And, you know, by Christmas Day, we're going to have really lived Advent the way it was meant to be lived, right? So we set ourselves up.
Mm-hmm.
We set the expectation. The bar is so high. We've got it all planned out. And then about a weekend, we're just a mess,
yes.
Right? And maybe not even a weekend, maybe the first day after Advent begins. So, you know, that I think goes right back to what I was just saying about reality. And so to authentically love means to have all four of those pillars existing. So we've got to own what is ours, be responsible for what is ours. But in order to do that, we actually have to be realistic. We actually have to live in reality and take on what only is ours. Meaning the fantasy that we paint out there that we're striving for isn't necessarily ours. That isn't necessarily what God has in mind for us.
Mm-hmm.
What he has in mind for us, again, I always say this, where our feet are planted.
Mm-hmm.
Look around and see what is, not what we wish it were.
Well, when you see other people as well, right, you might be like, mm-hmm. Oh, I want to be like them. Oh, they look holy. Oh, they have everything together. The reality is, we all have our struggles.
Yeah, well, and so with that, you just named, you know, two things are absent, right? So two pillars are absent in that description you just gave. One, reality, truth. The truth that we're looking at isn't necessarily our truth. In other words, we only see what we want to see on the outside of anybody's life. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense.
Yeah, and so we imagine what it is. We fantasize or we romanticize what their life must be like, because on the outside it looks fabulous, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so we put that on ourselves, and then guess what happens? One of the other pillars, freedom, is gone. We literally just put ourselves in a jail cell of comparison, locked ourselves up, and we are no longer free because we're burdened, bound by our comparison.
Mm. Yeah, I've heard that phrase, comparison is the thief of joy.
And, nice.
I think that's so incredibly true. What thoughts or suggestions do you have, especially perhaps anchoring in prayer, to growing in a relationship to Christ, to where we can look up instead of to a right or a left and comparing ourselves to other people during this holiday season, to most maximize with gratitude the gifts God has given us in this moment, in this Advent season?
That last word, in this moment, those are the key words, Josh.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah, it's reminded that Advent is a penitential season too, but in that penance, it actually should be bringing us closer to Christ. So sometimes people like to give something up, but I think about what's something we can do to draw nearer to Him. I mean, is it daily adoration, daily Mass, some service project? These are the things I think that really create a tangible connection with our Lord and orient us towards joy in that present moment.
You just gave a list of tasks, and I think really where I wanted our audience maybe to go was actually to think about what they could do to rest in the Lord, to be in His presence. And I hear that, feeding the hungry and, you know, all those acts of mercy are certainly important, yes. And at the same time, we've got to make sure that the relationship with God is held as the most sacred thing. And I think that in the culture that we live in today, busy is like this big, badge of honor we wear. And so you mentioned something about sacrificing, because it is a penitential time, Advent that is. And so what would it be like if we literally gave up busy? Mm-hmm. If we literally pulled back and got so reflective that we really leaned in on the quiet part of being in relationship with God, not necessarily the task-oriented part.
Yeah, that's a great, great point. So thank you, Ruth, so much for blessing us. Once again, Ruth O'Neill, Catholic Life Coach with Transfiguration Counseling.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And Dave.
And Dave. Well, we love you. We're going to miss you, but I hope you listen to us tomorrow.
Yeah, we're not going to be here.
What?
No, we're recording a show for
tomorrow.
But it's
a special show.
Because yeah, special Thanksgiving show.
I was bringing my turkey here, and I was going to man the fort. You're saying,
come on,
I'll be
Josh.
By myself?
All we have is a microwave here anyway, and I'm not going to cook the turkey in a microwave, I hope.
You can heat up your stuff.
Yeah. A very sad Thanksgiving with Josh Harris.
And then Friday we're going to do Thanksgiving leftovers. We're going to rerun some of our favorite interviews from the past since the beginning of the show.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea.
Absolutely. We were talking earlier about some Thanksgiving trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite trivia questions here was, what is the busiest day of the year for plumbers? It is the day after Thanksgiving, and it's thanks to all that food we gobble up on Thanksgiving. The house guests stressing out about the plumbing system. The Roto-Rooter reports that kitchen drains, garbage disposals, and, yes, toilets require more attention the day after Thanksgiving than any other day.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it amazing?
It is amazing.
I think so. Absolutely.
Didn't you have another one?
Well, I was just this one. What's that?
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
When was the first Thanksgiving football game?
When was it?
It all depends on who you ask. Princeton University and Yale University, it occurred on 1876. That was a college, but then the pros, it was in 1869.
Wow, I didn't even know. That
long
time ago. I did not know football had that rich of history.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I have one more. How much did the world's largest pumpkin pie weigh?
How much?
3,699 pounds.
How did they bake it?
I don't know. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, the pie made by New Bremen giant pumpkin growers in Ohio on September 25th, 2010, weighed almost 3,700 pounds and was 20 feet in diameter. It was made with 197 cans of pumpkin, over 200 dozen eggs, 100 gallons of evaporated milk, 525 pounds of sugar, so, and et cetera. It is huge.
That wouldn't fit in our oven.
It would not.
Wow. Okay. Well, on that note, glory be to the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day.